You guys know that a double shot of Pantera 8 p.m. on a Thursday night means one thing and one thing only. That means Talk To Me Live is on the airways, uncontrolledNoise.com. We've got a great show for you tonight. We've got a special guest, Bobby Gustafson of Satan's Taint. And yes, I said Satan's Taint. Also, X Overkill and so many other cool bands. I've got to ask him about his whole career.
You are listening to Talk To Me on Uncontrolled Noise.
Let's see here, man. So, Satan's Taint, man. What a band name, huh?
Yeah, definitely getting some miles on the internet.
Well, it's funny. I heard Zoltan from Five Finger Death Punch the other day talk about how they have one of the worst band names out there. And I'm not saying that Satan's Taint is a bad band name, because obviously, as soon as I heard it, I haven't forgotten it. And so when I was offered the interview with you the other day, I knew exactly who I was talking to. But man, it's up there with one of the more memorable names. How about that?
I challenged him on Twitter.
Did you?
the worst name.
So
I knew I needed something that people weren't going to get. And, you know, it was just kind of an inside joke of something that happened at work with me and my buddies. And I said, you know, it's one of those things when you hear something, it's like, oh, that would be a great band name.
Right.
Well, I actually used it.
Well, it's almost like... Yeah, I mean, well, finding a band name these days is probably harder than it's ever been. So, you know, you got to take letters out, replace letters with the, like, upside-down Vs and everything else. So so now, you know, so Satan's Taint, I'm sure, wasn't taken, and you guys are running with it.
Well, that's what I was thinking, too. I'm like, you know what, there's so many... I mean, there's a band every day, basically. Every time you look on the internet, there's a new band. And it's like, yeah, well... I mean, I've read through some, and I'm thinking, you know, well... They're pretty ridiculous, too, so it really doesn't matter. You know, I thought about it and toiled over it for a little bit, but I'm like, you know what? It really doesn't matter, and I'd rather have something that people remember as opposed to something that people will just scroll right past.
Right.
And not even look at. I said it's worse to be ignored than to either have somebody like it, hate it, get pissed off about it, or shocked by it. At least there's some sort of reaction, and I knew I would get that, so it's doing what I thought.
It's doing exactly what you thought. Everybody
exactly.
I talked to today, I'm like, yeah, I'm talking to Bobby from Satan's Taint, and you know, it's definitely getting a reaction, man. So you're definitely on the right path with this one.
Good. Well, you know, hopefully, like I always thought, the music was the most important part of anything anyway.
I agree, and some great stuff, man. I was jamming the one track that's out now, the Desecration, and
yeah.
You know, it's a killer track, man. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's kind of go through a little career timeline, man. The more I looked into your timeline, the more band names, some other great band names in there too that we've got to talk about. But you know, you spent so much time in Overkill. And then some time in the Cycle Sluts from Hell, which I think is an amazing band name, and they were one of my favorites as a kid. And almost, I need to ask you a little bit about that. It does say here on the old Wikipedia, for what it's worth, is that you were once approached by Dave Mustaine to join Megadeth. You know, with all of his health issues lately, you know, do you kind of look back on that and kind of wish you had taken it, or do you feel like you staying with Overkill was the right thing to do in '87?
I think it was the right thing to do, you know, definitely at the time. I mean, it was an honor that, you know, he had asked, and I've seen how many great musicians, you know, guitar players and drummers that have gone in and out of the band since then. So, I mean, I was definitely flattered, but, I mean, Taking Over had just come out, and you know, my thinking was, it's like, you know, this album was much better than the first one, and you know, they were, you know, we were together with them on the Peace Sells tour, and they kind of looked a little chaotic and like dysfunctional. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to leave something that I'm in control of to be in something where I'm not in control of. And, you know, I just like declined that night that he asked. I, you know, I didn't really sit there and think about it. And then unfortunately, by the end of that tour, you know, we didn't even know this was coming, but Rat left. And that was the last show that we did with him was on that tour. And then he was gone. So then now we're in a weird situation. I mean, it kind of threw us all for a loop. But, I look back and I said, you know, I wound up doing Under the Influence, mm-hmm. you know, which I love, and then the Gears of Decay, which was just like, you know, our sort of swan song type of album, and I'm glad that I stuck it out and just at least got those four albums, you know, the classic Overkill albums underneath my belt. But, you know, I stayed close with Dave. I just did, the other day, I did a little quote in his new book that's coming out. And, you know, we've crossed paths here and there. I mean, I'd love to do something with Mustaine if everything works out to where he's not sick and or he gets cured or whatever the deal is. I mean, it would be nice. I'd like to see him go back to doing something pretty heavy again, real thrashy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought the last Megadeth Dystopia was a return to form. You know, it was a great, great heavy album. So after Overkill, though, man, you go to the Cycle Sluts from Hell. And being that I was probably about 14 around that era, you know, seeing the Cycle Sluts from Hell on Headbanger's Ball, you know, I'm a teenage boy, you know, loving these rock chicks, man. So. You know, it's so funny how many times over the years I've brought up the Cycle Sluts from Hell, and I actually played for my lady earlier, I Wish You Were a Beer, you know, and so tell me how that came about and getting to tour with them back in the day.
That was, just being in New York, those girls were always, you know, they were a staple in New York at all the bars and stuff, and then they started playing, they threw the band together, and I was always, you know, friendly with them throughout the years. I mean, I think they even came up to Connecticut and stopped by when we were doing the Years of Decay album, and I guess once that all ended, they were like, oh, you know, we have two guitar solos that were, our guitar player left in the middle of recording, and we need two guitar solos. Do you mind coming in and doing it? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I recorded with them, and they were like, wow, this is great. You know, we got a Motorhead tour lined up for 2 months in Europe. You want to come out with us? And I'm like, yeah, of course I will. So we wound up going out and doing the tour. I mean, that was great fun. And I mean, I look back at now it's like it's pretty groundbreaking because there wasn't that much female.
Right.
Musicians or singers or whatnot into the heavy stuff like there is now. I mean, so they were a little bit ahead of their time, but I guess, you know, the typical record politics got in the way. Somebody else wanted their band on the Motorhead tour, even though we got it. They wound up getting kind of blacklisted after that, and they got dropped. And then I kind of moved on my own way, which I was always kind of doing my own songs on the side that weren't really for them. I was trying to put the Eye for an Eye thing together in New York. And time came after they got dropped, I was just like, well, I'm just going to do my own solo stuff. And we parted. I actually messaged Betty today.
You met who?
There for a little bit. That's Callis.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Hansel and Gretel, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. I was looking more into the Cycle Sluts from Hell today, and you know, not knowing that you know, that Hansel und Gretel came out of that too, and a lot of people came out of that, you know, so that was definitely a moment in time that, you know, that everybody everybody can come from. Go ahead.
It was fun.
Yeah,
it was a good time. It was fun, and I'm like, you know, what the other band, everything was just so serious, and I, you know, didn't really have that much of a good time as compared to like. With the girls, it was like, you know, everything was fun. And I'm like, wow, you know, you can really play and enjoy yourself. It doesn't have to be, you know, misery all the time. So, right. Yeah, that was a great experience.
Well, and plus the time that you left Overkill, I mean, those years, those early 90s years for Overkill and a lot of the thrash bands were a very rough time. I think I saw Overkill in 94 at like a 1,200-seat capacity venue, and there might have been 100 people there, so it made it look like a ghost town, you know. So it was a very, very odd time for thrash, and you know, I think you kind of missed out on a lot of that leaving the band.
Yeah, I heard the, you know, the early 90s were not really that kind to a lot of the bands. I mean, they stuck it out, thank God, but you know, yeah, it was kind of a big hit with the whole Seattle sound and everything else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Seattle sound. I mean, I was a big metalhead kid at that time. So, I mean, I was huge into Metallica and Pantera and Overkill and all that stuff. So, I mean, I was at those shows. But, yeah, the the vast majority was not. But the you know, you leave that, you go on to looks like you were in Grip Incorporated for a little bit. Tell me about playing with Dave Lombardo. That's got to be amazing.
Yeah, I wound up living in California for 2 years. I went out there with Billy Milano, actually, because we were going to do an MOD record with Harry Strickland from Violet. And about 2 weeks into it, Billy just up and left, and I stayed there. And I hooked up with Debbie Abono, who was managing Possessed and a lot of the other bands, Obituary and stuff at the time. And we had gone down to L.A. to do the Foundations for him, and I ran into Dave. And we talked for a little bit because we always got along on the Slayer tours as well. And he's like, hey, you know, why don't we do something together? I'm like, oh, that'd be great. So I talked to him and his manager and stuff. And he was down outside of L.A., like east in the desert. And I was up in San Francisco. And I would drive down on the weekends, like 7 hours, and spend the weekend at his house and then go back up. But, we barely got anything together. I mean, we had like a couple of riffs that we were working on, but it was really just me, him, and Gus, the singer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he had a bass player come out. I think he was like his pod dealer or something at the time. And then it just nothing was happening.
Right.
I'm like, I can't keep coming down here for nothing. And, you know, his wife was getting mad. And then I'm just like, you know, that we were staying there. So it was like, it was just time to go. So I got up and out of that. But he kept the name. He changed it to Grip Incorporated, which right. I didn't care. And then I guess they did a couple of things. And funny enough, I think they went out on tour with Motorhead, so that would have been another Motorhead tour I could have possibly been on.
And looking back, you know, that would have been great for the resume. And then the last band on here that, you know, another name that other guys have come out of was Screw, which Danny from A Perfect Circle came out of. And it seems like, you know, there's a lot of guys that can kind of, trace their lineage back to Screw also. So tell me a little bit about Screw before we dive into Satan's Taint.
Yeah, I lost touch with them after I left the band. I don't know what anybody did after that, but that was another Debbie Abono connection. And they had this similar problem. Their guitar player left in the middle of recording. They needed another guitar player. And they're like, oh, would you come in and lay down some rhythm tracks? So they sent me the songs, and I learned the songs. They flew me out to El Paso where they were recording, and I put down some guitar. And then they were like, oh, you know, do you want to stay in the band? And, I'm sure we're going to go out on tour soon. And I'm like, all right. So I wound up moving to Austin, Texas, and staying there with them for about 9 months. And we went on the Creator tour. We opened up for Creator.
Nice.
And it was just another, like, you know, just a different style and different musicians that I wanted to just expand myself, you know, as far as my playing and do something a little different, which was cool. And, you know, it was a fun tour. We went out for a couple of months or whatever, and that was it. I went back to New York, and I think they were going to go to Europe, and they were going to take somebody else, and that was that. And then from there, I think I came down to Florida, and I think I was there ever since, like 96.
You had a good run there for a minute there, going from band to band. That looking back, remember pretty much where I was when I heard of all of those bands. So it's definitely great to have you on the show. So let's dive into Satan's Taint. Says it was formed in 2014. So what have you been doing with Satan's Taint for the last 5 years?
Well, I kind of got into. I think there was a band, Satanica, from Italy that yep. wanted me to do a solo for them. And I wound up, I'm like, you know, it was kind of new to me. I wasn't, you know, big on the internet and stuff like that. And they're like, yeah, you can just record the solo there and send it out. So I kind of thought about it, and I was like, well, that's kind of a cool deal. I said, everyone doesn't even have to live in the same spot to get something going. And I had so much material left over, and I'm like, well, let me just start going back through the old tapes and stuff and see what I've got and put stuff together and just maybe just do something for fun. It really wasn't, you know, anything that I was worried about. I've got to get signed anymore. I said, I'll play with different people. I'll have fun. And that's really what I wanted to do. And then we got the songs together. I had five. We put five out. We put it on TuneCore, but they didn't push it. So I wrote five new ones and put them both together, which actually became our first CD, and we recorded them and made our own CD and put it out. And, you know, I was content with doing that. And I was content with the name. And I was like, you know, I'm jamming with my friends. We're writing songs. We're, you know, we're playing and rehearsing and just having fun. And that was that. Then the CD took off. And it started doing really well. And I'm like, well, okay, well, I guess I got to really buckle down and do another one. So I sat down and I wrote this album. I wrote all 12 songs. And they were all brand new, all new material. And here we are. I mean, after 2 years of selling, I think it came out 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Just 2 years of pushing it on the internet and selling it to friends and selling it to people on Facebook. And my drummer sets up websites and stuff like that for people to order it. And we've just been doing it the grassroots way, you know, DIY yourself, package the CDs out. And we've been mailing them all over the world. And we caught the eye of Missy, who's always been a friend of mine from Megaforce. And said, would you like to, you know, maybe put out the new one? And I sent her some of the material. She's like, yeah, for sure. And that was just the start of it right there.
You know, how do you feel about being able to kind of do that whole not being in the same room to write an album? You know, you can get the bass tracks from Arizona and the drum tracks from Texas and, you know, the vocal tracks from New York. You know, you can just send it out and next thing you know, you pop open your Dropbox and you've got a completed album.
Yeah, it's really strange to me because it's nothing like what we did back in the day. I mean, we used to practice the Overkill stuff 3 times a week, regardless if we were doing anything. We were always practicing, you know, drinking beer and blowing our ears out at rehearsal. And now it doesn't have to be that way, which is like strange. It took a little bit of time and patience to send the stuff out to different people. I had like different bass players and different singers and different drummers and just pieced it all together. But this one, I took on all the guitar, I did all the rhythm, I did all the lead, and I locked in with the song so well that I said I might as well do the bass. I did bass on a couple of the first CD, so I wound up doing all the bass on this one as well. And it just came out faster that way, you know, because things take time. I mean, we finished it up back in January, February, and, you know, it's not coming out till August, so... If I was doing all this stuff with all these other people, it probably would have been even longer. So I just wanted to get it out real quick and get it together. So I wound up just taking it on myself. And Jim did all the drums. And the only thing that we pulled over from the first album was the two singers, Dan and Paolo. They both sang half and half. And there's one song that they both sang like a duet together, which is something new for me as well.
And when is this album drop?
The actual date is August 2nd.
August 2nd, all right. And then, like I said earlier, you know, you've got the one track out now, which is amazing, The Desecration. Before we play it, maybe tell us a little story about the song and you know, just kind of intro the song for us. And
it's a bit of the Viking theme. It's about the raid, the first Viking raid at Lindisfarne in England. And it's just a picture lyrically that, you know, that they pick up and go to this monastery and just slaughter the priest and steal all the riches and bring it back home. And we've got a video in the works right now for this one. So that should be out soon as well. I mean, this wasn't even my first choice as a single, but my drummer kind of said, no, the lyrics are too good. He's like, yeah, definitely we should do this one first. So I trusted him on that. And we put it out. I mean, there's a lot of good, strong songs on there, but this one fit like as far as the video. So we went with this one first, but it's got a little bit of the old feel with the eerie intro. And then it just kicks you in the stomach when the song kicks in.
I agree. And then once the album is out, do you plan on doing some touring? How are you guys, what are you guys planning on doing there?
I'd love to. I mean, I'd love to really start with some of the big festival shows that I never got a chance to do back in the day because the thrash bands really weren't on them. And I mean, now they've got boat cruises.
Right.
With metal on them, you know, so I'm kind of missing out on those. And those, I think, would be the most fun. I'd love to go back to Europe and maybe just do some, select shows around the States with somebody. But, like the name comes into play again, so there's a little bit of trouble getting an agency to find it. I mean, to me, if you believe in Satan, then you're scared of him. But I just think it's silly. It's stupid to be worried about bands' names.
Yeah,
but we'll find someone. We'll find someone that'll either take us out or we'll find an agency that doesn't mind, and we'll get out there somehow.
All right, man. Well, Bobby, thanks for taking the time today. Thanks for going down memory lane with me a little bit, and we will talk to you soon. Good luck out there.
You are welcome. Thank you very much.